No, there's a couple people that likes to listen to that, so we'll record it for them. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I know you probably ain't supposed to do this, but Psalms 119 is probably one of my favorite chapters out of the entire Bible. They're all good, but I have a special likings to this chapter. Michael, we understand that y'all have to get up and, or y'all have to be at a certain place today at a certain time. And y'all do whatever you need to do. And if you have to leave, you know, before we're done, I don't know where we'll be. You know, just be sure y'all slide over and get you a plate to go or something like that. If you have to slide out, I understand that. That's fine and dandy. And just leave a tip in that tip jar over there for the pastor. And just remember, my birthday's coming up. April will be here before you know. Man, it's time. All right, Psalms 119. One thing that I want you to notice, and it has absolutely nothing to do with anything I'm going to deal with, but I want you to notice that the whole chapter in Psalms 119 has broke down in 8 verse segments. There's 8 verse segments all the way through 176 verses. That means there's 22 different segments. 22 times 8 is 176. What does all that mean? Every one of them, if you look, everybody see in Psalms 119 that word at the beginning, and I'm not no Greek scholar and Hebrew scholar and don't want to be, don't intend to be. God gave me a Bible in English. You understand that? But there's a word in my English Bible here that's written in Hebrew, and I want to notice it. And number one, the thing says Aleph. You see that? I don't know how if you pronounce it right or not. I'm from, you know, Forsyth County. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Aleph. Well, if you look at the Hebrew alphabet, ladies and gentlemen, that's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph is the first letter. Then you look down there and 8 verses later and you see the word Beth. That's the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Well, this thing's written in 22 different segments. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. God was very distinct in pinning down or having David to pin down this Psalms 119 because he took a letter from each, a letter from the alphabet and wrote a segment all through this. And every one of these verses, if you was to study it in Hebrews, and I'm not encouraging you to do that because God gave you an English Bible. And if you speak Hebrew, don't speak to me because I don't understand what you're saying. You know, I just don't get it. But then he said, if you look at Psalms 119, every one of those verses will start with that letter in that alphabet. God just went through great pains to write some things down in here. And he took time to put it in the Bible. So I think it's worth our time to notice and see why God did it. That's all. That has nothing to do with anything. It's just that this thing is written based on the Hebrew alphabet and it's written for our admonition. But I particularly like this psalm because out of 176 verses in one chapter, 176 verses, 174 of them mentions the Word of God in some shape, form, or another. So I like that. One of the things that I center my life on is the Word of God. So for 174 consecutive verses to mention the Word of God, I take a special liking to that. I like that because we are a church that puts the emphasis on the Word of God. Now that's just what I do. I like good singing. There's no doubt about it. I like good gospel singing. That song leader said a while ago that these songs are about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. Now, we know that these songs, plenty are about me and about you and others, but I tell you, I like the songs about Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's right. But I'll be honest with you, more than the songs that we sing, I like the Word of God, and I try to put the emphasis in this church on the Word of God. Here's why I say that. Because today we're living in a society, we're living in a world today, ladies and gentlemen, where people will take their experience, they'll take their religion, they'll take their philosophies, they'll take their theories, they'll take their notions, whatever you want to call it, notions, hankerings, everywhere you come from, whatever you want to call it, they'll take those experiences over the Word of God. Now, I'm real dogmatic about this, so give me a second here. I don't care what kind of an experience you had. I don't care if the clouds opened up. And I don't care if there was an ocean that poured out on you. If your experience does not line up with the Word of God, it ain't worth a hill of beans. Amen. I'm just telling you, people come up with all kind of ideas. God done this and God. Hey, listen, if you can't line that up with a Bible, then it wasn't God. Amen. God speaks through this word today, folks. And I'll take the word of God over experience or religion any day. And I do say, I boldly say that if your experience does not line up with this book, then I probably wouldn't spit on it if it was on fire. You can question people today about their salvation. You can talk about being born again. And listen, this is what I'm trying to explain. People will talk to you, well, I've been down the Romans Road. I don't care if you've been down 9 Romans Roads. Well, I don't care about that. I've been down the Philippian path. I don't care if you've been down. I don't care about that. What I do care about is if you pass from death unto life. There's a lot of people that's went down Romans Road. Hey, somebody give me an answer real quick. Where at in your Bible does it tell you to pray to get saved? Somebody answer that question. We're talking about Bible, right? Now I know this is a weird doctrine coming out of a Baptist church, but somebody give me one verse out of that entire Bible where it says you got to pray. Let's stop for a second and think about what the Bible says. Does the Bible say pray or does the Bible say believe? Wait a minute. No, you wait a second. When Peter was told by God to go over to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter number 10, the Bible said that Cornelius and his whole household was sitting in the house while Peter preached. They all believed in their heart and they got born again. Not a narrow one of them went and prayed a prayer. Every one of them. You say, what are you talking about? I've said it in this church 100 times. I believe if God deals with an individual and that person comes to God in their heart, I believe if they got up and took a step out of that aisle, and before they took their second step, died and went off in eternity, I believe because that decision that they made in their heart, that move in their heart toward God, God said, I hear what you're trying to say. I'm telling you, church, the Bible said, I don't care what your religion said. I don't care what denomination said. I don't care what your friend said. The Bible said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. And then, guess what happened? Your mouth flies open and confession is being made. You begin to tell people what Jesus done for you. Oh, it ain't about the prayer that you prayed. It ain't about the show you put on. It ain't about the tears that fell. It ain't about the snot that tripped. It's about Him passing you from death unto life. Amen. That's what I tell people. Amen. Don't care about my little tear-jerking experience. They care about what Jesus done. That's what's going to make a difference. What Jesus did for me. Well, that's what I'm saying. The Bible. Listen, don't misunderstand that. When I got born again, Miss Holly, I prayed. Oh, when I got born again, I prayed. I went out there in them woods, church. I fell on my face before a holy God, and I began to confess with my mouth my sins before Him. I began to cry out to a holy God, and God heard my cry. Amen. Ain't that what Psalm said? I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me. I'm telling you, church, that's what I did. And I'm telling you what it takes to be born again. It's a hard experience. It's a hard experience. If a man can't speak, a man can still get born again. Amen. I like it. Well, I just get a little sick and tired of some of the junk that goes on in our world. And we look out across society and go, what's wrong with the world? I can tell you what's wrong with the world.
Most time you can find it inside the church walls. That's right. Inside of the Christian home. You can find it most of the time. As goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. I just so happened to ask a preacher this week, sir, is what we're seeing in Charlotte, is this HB2 law? Is this a direct result of the revival? Is the rioting, is the looting in our cities? Is that a result of God passing by? No, friend, that's not God passing by. Tell you something, the Bible says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. I'm telling you, thank God when Jesus passes by, all them things will begin to cease. When Jesus passes by, all the liquor stores will start declining in sales. The tobacco stores will start declining in sales. Why? Because people get born again and start changing the way they live. Amen. Try, it changes things when the Lord passes by. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says that you have to do half the stuff that we're told to do today to be born again. Try it. You just have to take it up with the Bible. That Bible's consistent. That Bible's true. Preacher, I've read the Bible. I've read it, and it don't do all this good stuff for me. Preacher, I've read the Bible, and I don't get all that stuff that you say. Listen to me. If you can't understand that book, you don't need a new book. You don't need to an NIV. You don't need an ESV. You don't need a modern version for modern man. Whatever the flip they are to come out with. Whatever it is the booksellers is trying to make the money. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need a new spirit within us. We need a new heart. We need a new birth. I'm telling you, friend, if you ever do get born again, that sweet spirit of God will move on the inside of you. He'll begin to shine the light on them scriptures. And you'll have an understanding of what God's word has to say as a spiritual book. Right. Amen. It's a spiritual book. You say, what are you saying? I'm just saying, if that Bible don't mean that much to you, then probably what you ought to do is get born again. Amen. That book means everything to this old preacher. I don't know how to treat my wife, sir. I don't know how to treat my wife right outside the Word of God. I don't know how to be a good worker on the job outside the Word of God. I don't know how to be a good son to my mama outside the Word of God. I don't know how to pastor the church outside the Word of God. It's everything to me. I'm telling you, friend, without that word, I have absolutely nothing in this world. Nothing. Book means everything. And here's all I'm trying to say. This is a chapter that's full of the Word of God. This is a chapter that expounds the Word of God. And I'm telling you, church, we ought to take what the Bible said. We ought to take what the Bible said and just bank on that. I'm telling you, like old Abraham, just take God at His Word. We are not doubting. We're not questioning. We're not bucking. I didn't say you shouldn't have questions. You ought to ask God some every once in a while. God would love to let you know some things. But I'm going to tell you how He's going to let you know that. It ain't going to be through some deep, dark, little mystery like the world's proclaiming so much today. It's going to be found in the pages of that blessed book, friend. We'll prove that before we're done. Let's look. Hurry. Hurry. Verse number 1. Verse number 1. And we'll go back and forth. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to bounce around all through here. I'm not going to cover the chapter. You know that. But the Bible says, "Are blessed are the undefiled in the way." Now, boy, we could take the rest of the day and preach on blessed are the undefiled. You want to know why people ain't blessed today? Miss Stephanie, the Sunday school teacher, hit on it. You know why people are so miserable looking and miserable acting? Because they're not undefiled. They're living in sin. That's right. Blessed are the undefiled. I'm going to tell you who the happy people are. It's the people that's living clean and holy and godly and consecrated and separated lives. It's the people that's walking in that word. It's the people that takes God at His word. It's the people that says, "Yes, Lord, and know me." I'm telling you, that's the happy crowd today. That's the crowd that's being blessed. I tell you why people are so miserable and unhappy. Because they ain't walking in the Word of God. They don't know the God of this Word.
Verse number 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Did you hear that? That law of the Lord is the word of God, church. That's one of them ways of him talking about the word. That's the law. He said, if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, if you want to get the most out of this life, walk in that word. Man, I like it. Turn with me if you will, please. Let's see if this lines up with the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 3 and 4. Let's see if the Bible lines up with itself. And hereby we do know that we know him how? If we keep his commandments. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. That's the kind of stuff I get mixed up on right there. That's where I draw my dogmatism or whatever you want to call it. That's where I get the boldness sometimes that I get. Because the Bible said some things about that you would do if you keep them commandments. He said, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So can we look at that thing on the other side and you can help me? I'm not that guy that you can't help. You can help me. You can talk to me. You can ask me a question. That's fine. I'm that guy. Amen. What does that Bible say that you'll do if you... But what does the Bible say about an individual that keeps the commandments, Miss Stephanie? Said they know God. Ain't that what it said? We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So what is it trying to say? Don't try to tell me that you know him if you ain't willing to keep his commandments. You can tell people you don't know God. Don't you judge me. And I'm telling you, they walk in the course of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, are walking in the pride of life. And you can say, you don't know God. Don't you judge. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says we know him if we keep his commandments. That word. Preacher, that's Old Testament, is it? Is them commandments Old Testament? What you going to do when the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, is that not a command? Grieve not the Spirit, is that not a command? Love thy neighbor. Is that not in the New Testament also? Is that not a command? Sure. I just think we're to obey the word of God. We'll obey that word. And the Bible says, he that saith, what's this? He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. Wow. Look at what your Bible says. He's a liar. And the truth ain't in him. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have to expand on that. The Bible's pretty plain. Oh man, I see them shirts. I don't want to get off on that. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to obey the word of God. And if you're not walking in that word, listen, the simple reason is why you have a hard time walking in the word is because you've never been born again. Abraham, it's not hard to live for God. I've lived for hell and I've lived for God. You understand? I'm telling you, the way of the transgressor was hard, friend. It was a hard life. It was a hard morning to wake up and go to work. After a Friday night out on the town, that was hard, Miss Holly. I'm telling you, thank God, I was able to get up this morning with glory in my soul. I wasn't hungover. My body wasn't torn apart. I wasn't in the jailhouse. I'm telling you, Jesus was in the house. Good. Shout it out, Isaiah. I like it, son. It wasn't hard for me to live for God. I'm gonna tell you who's living for God. People that know him, people that's walking in that word, people that believe that word. I'm telling you, friend, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Friend, you're gonna find that gift through the blessed word of God, amen. Sure you will. This verse. Psalms 119, let's go back over there. Hopefully we'll use our Bibles quite a bit today. This verse starts with that word, blessed are the undefiled. I hate to bring this up, but would you believe that there's people in churches today, and there's probably even people sitting in here, Oh, I don't check a whole lot, but I do hear things occasionally. And I even hate, Zach, you tell me I hate to bring something up, but son, it's the nasty reality.
Miss Holly, would you believe that there's people in churches all over America today that has posted stuff on Facebook that is an abomination to a holy God? And it's amazing that people can post stuff like that for a whole entire world to see. The social world can click a button and see what everybody's exposing. I wonder what it would be like, Michael, if we took our Facebooks and put them on a big screen up here and let the entire church in here see every nasty, filthy, ungodly, every defiled thing that we put on social media. I wonder what that'd be like. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just saying it's absolutely amazing how defiled we can try to be and still go into the house of God. Wonder why we ain't happy and don't have any peace. Sad to say, but listen to me. You know what some people would say, Miss Holly? I don't give a flip. It's amazing. Some people say, I don't care. You know why people say that? You know why people get so arrogant and cocky that they don't care? You remember that Bible verse in the Bible talks about being past feeling? Because they don't care anymore. You can do whatever you want to, Michael. Our conscience has been seared with a hot iron. I mean, son, that very preacher that God put within every human being that was ever born, that God-given conscience to tell you that's right and that's wrong. Man, that thing's been seared. And people stop to the point where they don't care what's right and what's wrong, just what feels good to me or whatever I want to do. I'm telling you, we're to be able to marry whoever we love. What? I love some of my rod and reels. I mean, I like some of that. I really love some of my guns. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I really care about my stupid little dog. I mean, I wish he'd treat a couple more squirrels, but I really do like my dog. But friend, I'm not going to try to marry my dog. That's right. I might sleep with a couple of them guns, but I'm not going to cuddle up with them too close. I got one on the pillar under the mattress. That's right. I ain't holding on to it, Milton. I'm afraid of one of my... Afraid of what I might do. Mine might have a dream and shoot my wife. And if she lived through it, she'd swear on the table, on the testimony stand that I did it on purpose. It's just sad to say, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a world of defilement. And anyone living that lifestyle is not a blessed person. That's what your Bible says. Is that so? Blessed are the undefiled that are walking in the way. Verse number 9. Let's jump down to verse number 9. I got a question. John David, this is good, son. This thing has helped me ever since I was a young boy. The Bible says in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a real good question for every young person in the world to ask. How shall I live clean? How shall I walk in the way? How shall I have an undefiled life, preacher? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You just listen to what God's word says. Amen. Amen. Then with my whole heart. You hear that? David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Then verse number 11. That famous twin to verse number 9. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, David wasn't a perfect person. I know God said he was a man after his own heart, and he was, and I thank God for that. He was, friend, a man after God's own heart. But David, just like us, he was made out of flesh and bone and blood, just like me and you. And he had sinned and come short of the glory of God, just like me and you. David was not some far out being, ladies and gentlemen, that was a some far reach in our imagination. No, sir. David was a human being just like you and I, just like we have farmers in our land. David was a shepherd boy in his land. Just as that boy right there had to get up and go to school Monday by the grace of God, David had to get up and go to school. I mean, just flesh and blood, just like everybody else. But you know what I like, Miss Stephanie? He said ever since he was a young boy, he sought after God. Ain't that amazing? I like that. You don't have to sow wild oats, is all I'm trying to say.
You ain't cursed by your daddy. I hear that old stupid joke, well, I'm cursed by my daddy. No, you ain't cursed by your daddy. I know our daddies ain't always been everything. My daddy wasn't no Christian either, friend. But I'm telling you this morning, thank God, I'm not a drunk because my daddy was a drunk. I'm not a Christian because my daddy. Hey, you are as close to God as you want to be. You can live for God as much as you want to live for God. Now, don't try to hand me that junk that your daddy didn't do nothing and your mama didn't do nothing and I am what I am because of them. No, friend, you are what you are because you want to be that. David said, I tell you what I done when I was a little boy. I started searching after God. All the days of my life, I sought after God. You don't have to sow them wild hoes. You ain't cursed by your daddy. But you can let the word of God have its way in your heart. And you can walk with God all the days of your life. Amen. There was a young man that put everything else on the back burner. Do you hear me? Just a young man, he put everything, you understand what that Bible verse is saying? He sought after God with his whole heart. He didn't give God part of him. He didn't give God 90%. He gave God his whole heart. He gave him everything he had. It's like he didn't put God on the back burner and whip him out when he needed to. No, friend, he just gave God everything that he had. You can walk with God all the days of your life. Seek after God with your whole heart. And I tell you what God's going to do to an individual that's willing to do that. God will bless you. Amen. God will bless you. You seek after God. Ain't that what Hebrews 11:6 says? They that come to God must first believe that He is God and that He is a rewarder of them that who? Seek Him with a half heart. Seek Him with 90%. No. Diligently. I mean, friend, that's everything you've got. That's turning every rock over in your world. To get after God. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless them. Amen. I'm going to bless them. Verse number 14. This is all I've got. This is all I'm going to do. I'm going to just go down through this word and hit some of these verses. Verse number 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. David said that he rejoiced more over the word of God than he ever did over getting money. Now, ain't that something? You don't believe that? Look at verse 1. What is it? 162. Look at verse number 162. This is what he said. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. David said, man, I'd rather have the word of God than to hit the lottery. I rejoice over thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Can't you see it, man? I can because it's happened in my life. There's been times where I've been so down, so discouraged, so beat up and so afflicted this holiday. And I mean, man, it feels like the sun may never shine again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just stay faithful, if you'll just stay with God, take God at His word. I'm telling you, friend, God will see to it. He blesses you through it all. I'm just trying to tell you there's been times in my life where I've been on the bottom, thank God. And I didn't think there was no hope. I didn't think there was no light. I didn't think there's another chance. Thank God it wasn't long, ladies and gentlemen, that God opened that light up, opened that word up and began to show me some things in that scripture. I'm telling you, it changed my life. Sure it did. That word of God will help you in those times. It'll help you. It'll help you in those times. Nothing do for you what the word of God does. Mama, there's been times I've been sitting in my study, and when I say my study, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not fancy. I get up every day and put my pants on like everybody else. I go out and work. I bust my knuckles. I cut my fingers with saws. I hit my hands with hammers. And I do what everybody else does. And thank God that I can. Amen. I love it. So when I say I'm in my study, that means I'm probably sitting over on my couch when ain't nobody else around. Sit there on my couch and begin to read that Bible. There's been times where God has turned lights on in my life and begin to show me things. I'm telling you that thing He showed me about 2 weeks ago and I came in here and shared it. I mean, man, I'm telling you, God showed me that. I come up off that couch church and I mean, it wasn't no big quartet. It wasn't no fancy crowd. I mean, there wasn't a bunch of $1 million suits around. But God showed me something in that book and I began to rejoice in my soul. I couldn't wait to get down here and tell y'all that Jesus said, I thirst. Amen. Couldn't wait to tell you that. And He let me see that thing like He's never let me see that. And I'm telling you, Brother David said, I rejoice over thy word as one that findeth. Let me ask you a question. That's what I do. I preach a lot of questions. Do you rejoice over that word? You get more excited over the things of this world than you do the word of God? Does money excite us more than it does, more than the word of God? Man, David said, this word excites me more than anything in the world. I rejoice over this book. I like that. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, that convicts me. Are you listening? I said sometimes as your pastor, that convicts me. Because sometimes I pay a little more attention to other things than I do the word of God. To something. Sometimes, Miss Holly, I push the word of God. I just kind of go through the ritual. Sometimes I might jump up and get in there and read it and just read it just to get God off my back. So I can go on to work today and say, well, I read my Bible this morning, but I really didn't read my Bible this morning. Just kind of skim through the pages. I'm telling you, boy, that thing gets to convict me. I go, oh, God. I don't want to be to a place where the Lord has to break me down to get me back in that blessed book. You hear me? I want to be in the Word of God when I'm perfectly healthy. I want to be in the Word of God when I'm not sick. I want to get in the Word of God when I'm not being chastened and judged by God. I want to get there when everything's going good. That way when church, the bottom does fall out. Hey, man, the kind of son, you can stay right there in the Word of God. Man, well, verse number 20. Verse number 20. When I said that, I meant you ain't got to climb that God awful ladder of getting right with God. Verse number 20. My soul breaketh forth for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. David said there is a longing in his soul for the word of God. Look at verse number 97. I want to stop because that question just came to my mind. Do you long for the word of God? Do you desire? Do you have a real desire for the word of God? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It's a cure-all in this life. It's the answer to every question in this life. I'm not just a preacher up here harping this stuff. Can I be personal with you, Eric? And that's all I'm trying to do, man. I live in a glass house and I ain't trying to hide nothing. I mean, y'all know my wife's abused me and throw books and bottles and shot at me. Y'all know how bad she has me. Yeah, thank you, Zach. I mean, man.
I love you, baby.
Even as a preacher, Eric, I can say that word. And I can talk about husbands loving their wives. But if I don't go home and love my wife, I'm a blasphemer. I'm a blasphemer. My wife's sitting right over there and she's got to live with your pastor. She hears everything I say. She sees everything I do. She hears all my little inclinations, all that innuendos, all that kind of stuff. She picks up on every bit of that kind of stuff in me. And I'm telling you, I can stand up here in this pulpit and I can proclaim this word. And I'm telling you, there's a woman sitting over here, and if I don't live this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, I am a blasphemer to her. Bring a reproach on the name of Christ. And I'm just trying to tell you, I can sit up here and say it all I want to, but until I go home and put that stuff into use, it ain't much good, you understand? I'm telling you, we need to appropriate the word of God in our life. When God said to do something, we ought to do it. We're not just stand up in a crowd and say, this is what we ought to do. Hey, Miss Holly, can I be honest with you? There's a real hunger. There's a real desire. There's a longing in my soul. I really, really want the word of God. I really want to read it. I really want to understand it. I really want to meet with him. I really want him to show up. I really have a desire for that word. It's Sunday morning. I'm not going to toot my horn. I ain't worth 2 cents. You hear me? But I did wake up pretty early this morning and I checked with my father, and this Sunday morning we're going to church. We're going to church all day. But I just wanted to check in with my father this morning, church or no church. You hear? I just wanted to make sure that me and him was where we ought to be. I was where I ought to be with him. You understand that?
And that ain't because, church, I had to get up and come here. That's because there's a longing in my heart to do what that book says and to have an understanding and to walk in the statutes of the Lord. There's a desire I'm asking you today. Do you have that longing in your soul for the Word of God? Do you crave it? Are you looking for it? Do you desire it? Do you want to meet with Him and glean from the Word of God? Boy, we ought to. Verse number 97. Psalms 119:97. I love this. David said, oh, how love I thy law. Can you say that today? You remember we read them passages while ago out of John. 1 John. David said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. My thought is this today, church. How much do you love God? See, I come in here and I say things every once in a while about loving God and not loving God. And God is an all-knowing God. We can't fool Him. He knows how much we love Him. He knows who loves Him. He knows who hates Him. He knows who's just a little fond of Him. You know, He knows that people that, you know, have a little bit of fear and a little bit of respect, but they ain't willing to go. God knows every bit of that. So I come in here today with a simple thought today is, how much do you love God? Do you love Him enough to crave His Word? You remember what Joseph of Arimathea said over there when Jesus had died and they was going to bury Him? You know what the Bible says about Joseph of Arimathea? He went over and begged for the body of Jesus. He said, I crave this man's body. I'm telling you, church, there was a desire for him to do something for Jesus. I'm asking you today, hey, listen, friend, you may not can build a Taj Mahal. You may not be able to put $1 million in the offering plate. But boy, I tell you what you can do. You can get up and sit at His feet. You can glean in His Word. You can obey the Word. What in the world's better in this world than obeying the Word of God? What's better? What's better than obeying the Word? You can't even worship outside of obeying the Word of God. Man, friend. How much do you love Him? I talk about that love around here. And David said that his love has him meditating on Him all day. Isn't that something? Now, we got a bunch of hardworking people in here. You ladies, as far as I know, you clean your house and you wash your dishes. If you don't, shame on you. You ought to clean your stinking house and wash your dishes. You ought to put something on. You ought to look decent when that man comes home. You ought to try to look good for him. Sir, you ought to treat her right. I'm not dogging no woman. I think it's a two-way thing, friend. Well, I'm saying it's hard, Miss Tiffany, to have that vacuum cleaner in your hand and be reading that Bible. It is. It's hard, sir, to be running that skill saw and read your Bible. It's hard, Michael, to set up your machines and have a Bible in your hand. Eric, it's hard to do surgery on somebody and hold a Bible in one of your hands. But I'll tell you what you can do, ladies and gentlemen. You can sit at Jesus' feet and you can get a word in your heart. And it may not be in your hands, but you can have that word in your mind. And all through the day, you can just meditate on that word. Isn't it amazing that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're going through, thank God there's a good word from God. God will let that word resonate on your mind, and it'll see you through the day, friend. David said, I love God so much. I love His Word so much. I'm just going to meditate on it all day. David was busy, church. He wasn't no little lazy punk that was laid out doing nothing. This cat was busy, friend. David was a busy guy. He said, I got time to meditate on the Word of God. It's good. Miss Stephanie, in order for us to have something to meditate, we're going to have to actually pick up our Bibles and read something to start with and let God put that in our heart and our mind and let us meditate on it. That's the first thing we're going to do. And if there's not a desire for that word, if there's not a love for it, it's just difficult. We're living in a world that's fast-paced, it's drive-through, everything's hurry, hurry, I know that. But I tell you, church, no matter how bad this old world gets, you know, and here's a good point. Old Brother Asper makes it. We may see a day, I don't know, but we may see a day when they throw us in concentration camps and say, no more Bibles. No more Bibles. Give me that Bible. And throw Christians over there. Hey, listen, if they're down there killing cops, what's next, ladies and gentlemen? Really, what is it? I ain't trying to scare you. What's next, Michael? What's in line? If we don't respect or fear the law, if you can just march in the streets and kick out the cop windows and stomp on their cars and shoot at the police, what's next? I venture to say, Miss Holly, that we'll start seeing things sooner or later. And I hate to even say it, but there'll be stuff going on inside of our churches that we never dreamed of. And I don't like to get off on this, but, you know, and Brother Sammy Allen told me personally, he said, Brother Dave, I've never said nothing like this, don't like talking about it, but we're not too far from the concentration camps, and you really don't hear him say stuff like that. What are you saying? I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, what if they did? What if you got in that place? Enough word of God in your heart to carry you through that. Is that enough word of God that you have hidden, stored away? I'm telling you, church, we ought to go at this word of God so if something stupid did happen, if some chaos, if some turmoil, if we did get stranded, listen, man, there's nothing like having a good written copy of the word of God in your hands. But I'm telling you, if you can't have the word, you ought to try to take it, hide it in your heart. You ought to be able to soul win the people without a Bible. You ought to be able to win a lost and dying world without a written copy. It ought to be hidden in your heart. And you're going to be able to tell others about it from just meditating on it day and night. Isn't that a blessing? Right. Do you love him enough to do that? Isn't it amazing how we can memorize the lyrics of every stinking Tupac song there ever has been? Little white kids running around. This guy despised white people. And they run around trying to memorize all them songs and the people despise them. It's amazing. You ask them to quote two or three Bible verses, they look at you like you're a Martian or got four heads or something. Couldn't probably tell you who was in prison with Paul. I mean, it's just, I ain't trying to be ugly, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. How much do you love him? How much do you love him? You love him enough to hide that word in your heart? Oh, God help us. Look at verse number 98, we was just at verse 97. What time is it, Michael? I'll be considerate of y'all. Time 97. Verse 98, though, he said, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of God. Can somebody tell me, it's okay, please talk to me. Somebody besides Isaiah, he'll talk, he'll preach. Who was the Christians' number one enemy? Huh? I mean, you know, besides ourselves, I know. I mean, I am my biggest problem, I know that. But who is your arch enemy, ladies and gentlemen? Who is the child of God's arch enemy? Who hates you? Who's your enemy? Did you see what the Bible just told you? The Bible says that your enemy, you may can get rid of him from time to time. Like the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But I promise you one thing, he's coming back. He's never permanently just leaving. He'll flee from us in that instant. He'll flee from us in that case. But I promise you sooner or later he's coming back. He's always going to be back. He don't ever give up. He's relentless. I'm not bragging on him. I can't stand him. But did you see what your Bible just said? That through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies. You know what David just said? He said, I may not be able to get rid of them suckers, but the devil. I'll tell you what I can do. I can outwise them. How? Because of the word of God. Hey, listen, church. Now, the devil took the word of God and twisted it around like many people do today and used it on Jesus Christ. He twisted them scriptures. He rested them scriptures. And God turned it and started quoting them scriptures to him. He outwise the devil with that word of God. So I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If we get that book in us like it ought to be in us, old Lester Orloff made that statement. He said, they have but one book in my study, and it's the Strong's Concordance. He said, if I knew my Bible like I ought to, I wouldn't even have the Strong's Concordance in there. Now, I know he read other books, but I understand what he was trying to say. Ladies and gentlemen, we get that word in us, it'll help us fight our enemy. It'll help us stand in this evil day. It'll help us look at this lost and die. Hey, listen, how many of y'all enjoy watching the news today? I mean, man, it breaks my heart. I'm telling you, as an American, as a North Carolinian, you understand? It breaks my heart to watch our state go in the tank.
It just rips me apart to see wickedness prevailing in the streets. And it hurts, man. I'm telling you, it's a grievance that in my soul, and I mean, I'm yearning for God to do something. But we're living in a day, friend, where evil is proclaiming his voice in our streets.
Being uplifted and praised just yesterday, and I think it was Durham. And Mama, I got to thinking about old Coach K the other day slamming our governor for the HB2 bill. And he talked about how it's an embarrassment to this state. And I got to thinking about our governor, just what all he's been through just to try to take a stance for our little old girls and boys. It's our wives, our daughters, our families can go to the bathroom and not have to worry about some pervert peeking in. It's amazing. I don't know if he's a good man or not, but thank God that's a good thing he's standing for. Then that basketball coach stand up that everybody's so crazy about and call him an embarrassment. That law, an embarrassment to this state. Shit, hell will freeze over if I ever watch a good basketball game. You can hear me. I don't give a flip if they ever play another game. But you know what I thought, Mama, yesterday? It's a sad, sad day when a man supposed to be a conservative will go to that extent just to not offend anybody in his recruiting. They'll say whatever they got to say, Michael. They'll do whatever they got to do just to be able to get that next guy that can entertain the crowd, the next guy that can get on a W, the next guy that can put a ring on the finger. That's all. It's a compromise, ladies and gentlemen. It's wicked. And I'm telling you, we have to stand as God's people and watch this stuff prevail and go on. It's not fun. It's not joyous. It's a grievous thing to the people of God. But that's the world we live in. But God said, if you'll take my word and hide it in your heart, I'll help you rise above this thing. And you can even be wiser than your enemies. That'll bless it. Boy, I want that. You hear me? I need it. I don't just want, I need that. Look at verse 99 and 100. I'll quit on this. We'll take us a break. We'll get something to eat and come back. Verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Zach, I thought about you when I read this verse. David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. You know what people say when that young preacher stands up and starts telling the word of God? Well, he's young. He's ignorant. He don't know. Well, he'll learn. I'm telling you, we got a good handful of young people in this church. Don't you ever let age intimidate you. David said, I'm smarter than my teachers because of the word of God. He said, not just my teachers. He said, the ancients. He said, them old people in my life. I've got more than them. I've got more understanding than the old people around. And even the real old people, the ancients, I've got more than them. Why? Not because David was somebody who was clay like we are. He said, because of the word of God. David said, I'm going to hold on to this book. When them people don't, God gives me more understanding. God gives me more insight. He gives me more wisdom. And it don't matter what age you are. It don't matter what creed you are. It don't matter what your religion is. David said, man, this book right here will give you an understanding that nobody else has in this whole world. Ain't that good? Hey, man. I'm telling you, there's some pretty smart people in America, ain't they? This is pretty smart. Hey, well, the story, I may be telling it right, I don't know. If I'm not, forgive me, I ain't trying to preach heresy. But they went down to the old black man's house. Michael, they had all them pictures. What was it, George Washington Carver? Is that him? Peanut butter and all that stuff. The government went down there. They was going to scrutinize him. The IRS was going to give him a little visit. They thought they was going to catch him in some mess. They want to know how he come up with all these great ideas, how he had all this understanding. He had them government officials a copy of the King James Bible. He said, boys, it's in the book. Amen, son. God will help you, church. That word will help you. All right. I've seen God take a bunch of nobodies. You hear me? I've seen him take a shepherd boy out of backside of nowhere having to fight lions and bears. And put him out here in a king's chair. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it was a lowly thing. It wasn't no highfalutin thing. It was no powerful thing to be a little shepherd boy. He was the reject. He was the run. He was the castaway. And God seen that desire and that walk with him. God said, that old boy right there loves my word, walks in my word. I'm going to set him up. Amen. I'm going to set him up. He'll do the same for you and I. You may not get to be the president of the United States, and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be. I don't want to be.
Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be nice to be the king of your house, mister? Wouldn't it be nice to be the king of that house? Lady, wouldn't it be nice to be the queen of that house? And I mean, man, get treated each other like king and queen. I'm honest with you, man. Know how to talk to each other. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the world like a home that's living for God. There's nothing like a spirit-filled home. There's nothing like a woman loving her man and her man love. I'm telling you, man, that thing bleeding over into the children. That children being raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That family walking in the spirit, coming in the house of God, loving God, loving the Word. Thank God, friend, I like it. Riding down the highway this morning, looked over there, old boy and girl all over top of each other kissing. Mary! I said, hey, Brian, I like it, amen. Amen. Looked over in the other car, they was throwing stuff. I'm just kidding, Mary. I'm just messing. Well. Church, and I know this ain't real popular in our day, but would you believe God would give you something as a congregation, as an individual? Miss Holly, do you think God would give you something as an individual that He wouldn't first give you a pastor? Hold on now. I know there's some jacklegs in America that thinks that you ain't going to get nothing unless God gives you through the pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. You can get it on y'all. You don't have to have it through me, friend. Oh, you don't have to wait till Sunday to come in here and let the preacher tell you what God said. You can get down there on Monday on your set. God wants to deal with you. You understand that? I'm telling you, it's good to have a preacher, and God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And he put a pastor in that place and evangelist in his place and teachers in there. He done all them gifts to the church. But I'm telling you something, friend, He's a personal savior. And it ain't that your pastor's got a monopoly. I'm not a special being. It don't start with me and bleed through. You can get something from God. You can come in here and you can share a word from the Lord. It don't matter if I've ever seen it or not. If it's from the Word of God, it's from the Word of God. Amen. That's right. What was it? Old boy told me yesterday, me and Zach got to going down the road, man. And Zach back here, we got to thinking about it. Michael going down the road, we just about had a shell spell riding down the road. Something old boy told us out of the Bible. He said, what do you think Jesus is going to do for all them babies that was in the land that got killed in His place? What do you think Jesus is going to do for all them babies when they put out that decree to kill them babies? He said, you read them prophets over there, there's a special resurrection for them babies. Ladies and gentlemen, I have never, you might have, and that's good, but I have never seen that. I got to think about what Jesus is going to do for them babies that died for Him, because of Him, in His place. Me and Zach got to thinking about it. We never heard nothing like that in our life. That don't usually come out of the G-Bop crowd, you understand? General body of common knowledge. That don't come too much. Most independent fundamentals don't break it down that simple. They just don't. And I'm telling you, man, I never seen nothing like it. But I'm telling you, I'm glad God sent a servant my way yesterday and whispered something in my ear and let me hear something that I've never seen. Man, I'm telling you, that helped me. I want to look at it. I want to see what all God has in store for them babies that died for Jesus. I just do. Something special. Zach said, you know, Dad, I have a tendency to think maybe God's got something special for all them aborted babies. Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if God in His mercy and His compassion heard the cry of those babies and did something special for them? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Believe it, friend. I'm going to take a break. I don't want to go any further. I told you I would. I'll take a break. We'll get us something to eat and come back and go through some more of these verses. What's your point, preacher? Well, I don't have too many pointed outlines, but I got some good questions. How much do you love God? Do you love Him enough to walk in that book? Do you love Him enough to read it? Do you love Him enough to hide it in your heart? Do you love Him enough to obey it? Amen. Just take Him at His word. Church, you can't go wrong. Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for this precious book. Thank You, dear God, for the extent You went through to put an English Bible in our hands. Lord, let us cherish it and love it and crave it. I pray, God, that You'd help every individual in here, Lord, have a desire for the things of God, for the Word of God. God, create that hunger, God, that thirst in us, oh Lord. I pray, blessed God, that You'd bless the food we're about to eat. Thank You for these that's prepared it. I pray, God, that You'd bless it for our bodies and use us, Lord, for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.